Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
Every song that they have sang this morning is about the power of God, about how He is here to minister to your needs. Amen. I know from time to time we have altar time. I want to have it this morning. If you are an elder in the church, board member, whoever you are that needs to pray with somebody, I'd like for you to stand out and come. And I'd like to invite people that have a need this morning. I don't care what it is. We don't have to wait till the end of the service. We don't have to wait till after prayer time or after the offering or whatever. God is here in this place this morning to have His will, His way done. They're going to sing this again just a little bit. I want, if you have a need, I don't care whether it's for bodily healing situations in your life, I want you to step out and come. Our brother Larry this morning has both probably going to pray for somebody, but also needs prayer this morning. Anybody else, come on. If you have a need this morning, just step out and come. Let God touch you, minister to you, meet your need. Anybody, very quickly, we're going to wait. Thank you, Lord. Sing it again in the Lord.
Miracles
thank you, Lord. Need some more prayer people down here.
Healing
amen.
Is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move.
Oh,
heaven
thank
is
you,
coming. Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen.
Thank you, Lord. Anyone else, very quickly, amen. You just have a need this morning. You have a need this morning. You need the Lord to touch and minister to your need, amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord God. We give you praise, worship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, you're a marvelous God, a glorious God. Need a sister to come over here, if you will. Pray for our sister, amen. You'll do that. We're not in any big hurry this morning. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your mercy, your grace, your love. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. Anyone else very quickly before we get ready to change the order of service? Amen. God loves you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're a great God, a glorious Lord. We worship you, Lord God. We give you praise, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. If you feel like sitting, you can sit. People are still coming. We're just going to give it a moment this morning. You stand or sit, do whatever you want to do. God loves you and cares for you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord God, touch our hearts and touch our lives. Yeah. Father, you're a great God, glorious Lord, glorious Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Right there, brother. Amen. Father, touch, minister, meet needs, Lord God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory, Lord. Father, we give you praise. You alone are worthy. Anyone else? Very quickly, we're not trying to prolong service, not trying to speed it up. If you have a need, it's fine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Bless you all. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. You may be seated for a little bit. Amen. As you may or may not know, your pastor and his wife are down in Florida for a vacation. And so, matter of fact, Pastor Jim was supposed to teach Wednesday night, and he went down to Florida also. His sister is not doing well, so we need to keep him and his family in prayer that God will just do a miracle in their lives. So I taught Wednesday night, and of course, here this morning to minister the word. It's always a marvel to be able to minister the word of God and to such a good congregation. Amen. Oh, give yourselves a hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to receive tithes and offerings, so our brothers are going to come and do that. Do want to let you know that yesterday we had a great, great, great time in the men's ministry. We went to a breakfast at the, is it Mission Valley? Nazarene? Valley Mission, Nazarene Church. I had a great time, wonderful food, done some shooting, and they have a big enough lot that you just shot off into the field. I told some people this morning we ought to do that and just shoot off to our neighbors, but probably not. Amen. So anyway, we had a great, great, great time. We ate wonderful and had a great time of fellowship. So again, just a wonderful time yesterday. This coming Saturday is the women's gathering here, Aspire, I think it's called. See, I'm not on top of everything because I'm not the pastor. So anyway, the Spire is here. It's going to be, I believe, in the other building. I hope if they have 150, 200 people, they're in here. That'd be much simpler. But anyway, that's supposed to where they're at. A lot of things going on around the church that's really, really, really wonderful. We want you to give, you to be blessed, amen, by your faithfulness. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercy, your grace, your love. You alone are worthy of our praise. And Father, we ask right now that you do in our hearts and our lives only what you can do. And Lord God, you can raise the mountain. You can raise the dead. You can get rid of problems in our hearts and our lives. But Lord God, bless this church financially. Lord God, allow us to be faithful to you. And Lord God, the needs will be met. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you this morning. That was quick, wasn't it? Amen. Didn't the praise team do a marvelous job this morning? Amen. Amen. I hope that you are sensing that God is doing something in our midst. You know, again, where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is in the midst of them. I believe that we have two or three people here. Amen. He is here. He's walking up and down all the aisles. He's touching your hearts and your lives. And He's doing for you what no one else can do. Amen. And so I would hope that, I think sometimes our understanding of what God is going to do or not do rests with just Him, but it does not really rest just with God. It rests with our expectancy, amen? I've encouraged people in all the pastorates I've pastored to come on a Sunday morning especially, and you can do it on Wednesday nights or whenever, but come with an expectancy that God is going to do something marvelous in your life. And these songs this morning just spoke to that, amen. God is here to do an amazing, amazing work. Continue to pray for your pastor and them. They should be coming home today, tomorrow, whatever. Be here for Wednesday. And then they come back safe and sound and rested and ready to jump back at it. We're doing a ton of work over in the other building for some lighting and electrical and things such as that. And it's sort of hit and miss because we got to wait for the conference to get here and then be gone and then start again. And, you know, it's been this. How many's been in the military? They say hurry up and wait. Yeah, that's sort of what's been going on a little bit. Hurry up and wait until we get just right to do and to unplug and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know if you're anxious to be back over there or not, but to be honest about it, this is really nice. I enjoy this. Amen. Yeah, give the Lord again. And really, it's your pastor that had enough guts to just say, you know what, this is where we need to be for right now. And so you need to give him some kudos from time to time for making sort of big decisions, amen. To abandon over there and come over here is sort of a challenge, okay. It's challenging for all the sound people to take everything over there and put it over here. And this Saturday conference, take everything here and put it over there. Then Sunday's come and take everything and put it. It's a challenge to get done everything that needs to get done. And these people in the church doing the work, pastor leading, doing a marvelous, marvelous job. Amen, amen. Draining the wishing well. Amen. Anybody ever went to, I don't know, wherever, you maybe a mall or something of this nature, and there's a well filled with water, and it says that you take a coin and toss it in. And supposedly, what I've been told, is that if the coin hits the water at the same moment that you make your wish comes true. I have to tell you that my wish and the coin has never coincided. It's pretty weird. But anyway, there was a young boy one time. It was written about him that he was in this mall, and he got his few pennies out, and he throws them into this big pool and makes his wishes. Well, they go ahead and shop with his mom, and here in a little bit, they're coming back to get ready to leave. And there's a guy in the pool with the water all drained, and he's got a vacuum in there sucking up all of the coins, you know, and all the things. And so the little kid says, "What in the world are you doing? You're just sucking up all the promises and all of the wishes that people have had." Well, the guy didn't say a single word. He just shook his head like, "You're an idiot," and went ahead and sucked it all up and left. Again, we've all been familiar with this wishing well stuff. In John chapter, see if I can get this thing to work. Oh, went backwards. Have to hit the right one. We're going to go to John chapter 5, 1 through 9. It'll be on the overhead also. It goes like this. John chapter 5 and verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gates a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades or pillars. Here is a great number of disabled people. There used to lie there the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him a very simple question. Do you want to get well? Sir, he replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. Can you imagine the scene that is going on here? Here Jesus walks on, and there's a ton of people. Now, My mind is always weird. How many has ever known that? My mind, yeah, thank you all. It's sort of, you know, you don't want to go up there. It's not good. But, you know, this incredible miracle of Jesus taking him and healing him. But the deal is, there was a multitude of people there. And why he picked just one person, I don't really know. But anyway, he picked one person and started dealing with him. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning, is the draining of the wishing well. Here is a guy that was there for 38 years. Let me ask a simple question this morning. How many's had a similar problem or the same problem for at least 20, 30, 40, 50 years? Anybody? You just never can get rid of it? A few is going to volunteer. Yeah, you know. How about 5 years? You've had the same problem. There we go. We got some of you just aren't old enough. Amen. And it's amazing that this guy, he's been crippled for 38 years. And I don't know how it all worked, but if they brought him down there on certain days and just laid him there or whatever. But he's there 38 years coming off and on. And I don't know how the angel did it. In the scriptures, it talks about God sent an angel from time to time to stir up the waters. We don't know what that looked like. Whether it was a big splash and somebody said the angel jumped in, or it was this gentle moving of the water. And everybody, this whole group of people, takes off running, crawling, trying to get there some way, shape, or form to jump into this pool so that they can be healed. For 38 years, this guy's been doing this. And for 38 years, he's the second, the third, the fifth, the tenth, the hundredth to get there. And so for 38 years, his prayer, his desire has not been met. This guy is done for with hope. He's still laying there. He's done for, though. And there's been times in my life, and I think in everybody's life, that you go, man, I just don't know what to hope for anymore. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how in the world this is going to take place because, you know, I've been doing this for 38 years. I'm amazed as they sang this morning and they picked out perfect songs. Man, it was wonderful songs for this message this morning, and I didn't tell them to do it. He comes to this place 38 years every day of his life. And I wonder if when the waters are stirred a little bit from time to time, if he's getting slower and slower, not physically, but just mentally and emotionally, saying, well, I'm not going to make it, so I might as well not even try. I might, matter of fact, if I laid right next to the water, I'm not sure I could roll over in time to get there. Somebody's faster than me. And so for 38 years, his desires have been crushed. His will has been a little bit destroyed. And now he is laying beside the water. He knows it's going to happen, but I think that in his life, 38 years of this, he has come to the conclusion that he's not going to get the healing. I think I would have just stayed home. Think I really would have just stayed home. And he says Jesus comes on the scene. And he looks at this large crowd of people. He might be looking at us today. Matter of fact, he is. Again, two or three are gathered in his name. The Lord is there in the midst. So the Lord is here today, and he is privy to your circumstance, your situation. We asked this morning for people to come down that had needs, and there was people praying for you. God knew ahead of time exactly what your need was. And he has what you have need of. It's amazing to me, and I've said this forever and ever and ever. When we pray and we say, oh God, I have this need or that need, the Lord in heaven doesn't go, huh, let me see where I can find their answer. Let me see if I can search it around in heaven a little bit and see if I can find something to help them out with. God doesn't search for anything. God doesn't have to look for your answer. He has your answer right now. He did for this guy. 38 years of waiting, though, is a long, long time. And I would encourage you this morning, I don't care how long you've been waiting for God's movement in your life. I don't care how long you've been waiting for a son or a daughter to be saved that you've been praying for. I don't care how long you have waited for God to do a miracle in your life. He is still in the operating business. The song said this morning, He is still here to heal. He's still here to move mountains. He's still here to do in your heart and your life what needs to be done. Do you believe that this morning? God is an incredible God. Because we might not be sitting around a physical pool. As a matter of fact, I'd love to visit the place. And I'd love to be sitting there if the angel happened to be sent back down one more time just for the fun of jumping in whenever he was there. I'd knock everybody out of the way and hop in. No, I wouldn't. But this guy, he was in trouble. And there are people in the world that's in trouble, of course. But here in the church, people are in trouble. Man, this has been a tough couple years, hasn't it? Year and a half, whatever. Churches are struggling. They're seeing, well, are we going to survive? Whenever we had problems down in Deer Park with COVID, and we went to online just like you all went to online for a little while, a few months. I told the board, I said, you know what? If we don't get back to church, we might not have a church to get back to. Everybody's struggling. But one thing I recognized and I knew all along is that God had a plan. He has a plan to bless. He has a plan to grow. He has a plan to heal. He has a plan to do miracles in our lives. As I said, we might not be sitting by a physical pool, but I believe that you and I, at some times in our life, maybe a lot of times in our lives, are spiritually blind. We are emotionally lame. Amen. We are morally paralyzed occasionally in our lives, where we sit and we go, I don't know which way to go. Have you ever been to that point in your life? I mean, you're just stuck in one area, and I don't know whether to go left or right or up or down or back, and I don't know what to invest in and to be a part of. And sometimes here lately, do I go to church or don't go to church? There's a church down by our house, and they have one of those signs out front, you know, that they put things up on. And one of them is, it says, blah, 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 go to church. Blah, 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 go to church. But all of us are in the same boat sometimes, where we are paralyzed trying to figure out, Lord, what in the world do I do? And we just sit and we wonder, and we toss our pennies into a wishing well, hoping that somehow God will come along and do something. Well, I want to tell you, He is doing something right now. You say, oh, He's going to do something? No, He's doing something right now. Pastor, I don't see Him doing anything. Don't care if you see it or not. God, He has always been active. He's always been working. He's always been doing to complete His will and His purpose. And I've said for a long, long time that the Lord wants to save souls more than you want to see them saved. He does. He wants to see your loved ones come to Jesus more than you want to see them come. Oh no, nobody can love my child like I do. God does. Oh God, God can't want my loved ones saved. He sent His Son down a cross for us. He is more interested in a revival than we've ever been. And I see churches there. There's little signs coming and going here and there that says, pray for revival, pray for. And I want to pray for revival. I want God to do an incredible work in revival. But I want to tell you, it's not His fault. And it's not necessarily our fault either. I mean, all we have to do is say, God, send. Because He wants to. He wants to save souls. Matthew Henry once said, we are all by nature impotent people. In spiritual things, blind, halt, withered, full, but full provision has been made for a cure. And that is our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, he hung on a cross, died there, took the stripes before he died on the cross for our healings. I've been baffled forever, my whole entire pastoral life, that you can have 10 or 12 or 15 or 20 people come forward. We pray for people, and two or three gets healed. The rest of them go back and don't get healed. And I, you ask God, God, what in the world's the deal? Anybody ever ask God that? Oh, you're not supposed to say that to God. God knows you're thinking it. He knows what's in your mind, so you might as well speak it out of your mouth. And I say, God, by your stripes we are healed, and people have left to go back. And what some pastors have done is they say, well, it was their fault. And some say, well, it was my fault. Some say it's God's fault. But I just say God is waiting to do in your heart and your life a miracle that you need. God is an incredible God. With God, the Bible says, all things are possible. Isn't that cool? He looks down on every single one of us. I am a person in great need. How about you? You say, well, you've been a pastor for almost 40 years. You're still in need? Oh, Lord, send your help. We are all born and shapen in iniquity. We all need salvation. We all need God to forgive us of our sin and do that work in our hearts and our lives. There's an old song that we used to sing, Jesus. There's something about that name. And that is something that happens in our hearts and our lives when we focus on Jesus. And so Jesus comes along and asks this guy, hey, you want to be well? What a stupid question to ask. I'm here. I'm by the healing well, pool of Bethesda. I've been trying for 38 years to get in this. And Jesus is so insightful, isn't he? Hey, would you like to be healed? Seriously, you want to be healed? And Jesus says, I'm not going to send you to that pool anymore. I'm going to do for you what no one else can do for you. And so 38 years of laying there, he is seized with an opportunity to be touched and to be ministered to. Each of us needs to pay attention to the Master. The Master is here today. And he is here. If he wants to speak audibly to all of us, that's fine. I'll step aside and let him go to town on it. But what he generally does is he speaks in that still small voice called the Spirit. And he speaks to your heart, and he speaks to your life, and he asks you that question, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be whole? Can I take care of that situation in your life? Can I give you help in this area of your life? And no one around you even knows God's speaking to you. It's just up here. It's here in your own heart. And you might glance over the person sitting next to you. Yeah, the Lord, yeah, sure, yeah. But the Lord is speaking today. Anybody hear the Lord this morning? He loves to speak. Matter of fact, the Bible says that whenever he speaks, he is screaming in the marketplace. Think about that. What does that mean? Out even in the world, the word of God is going forth powerfully and strongly, and all people have to do is tune in to his words and to his speech, and he will give you what you have need of. Now again, this guy, you want to be healed. Here's some excuses. I have no man. He blamed the conditions of his life. When the troubles are, waters are troubled, he blamed the circumstances. There's nobody to put me in. He blamed geographical locations and places. Another steps down before me. Someone else always beats me. That's why I can't receive something. And many times, a lot of things we don't get about this passage, it was done on the Sabbath. And the guy, it's recorded here that this is the Sabbath. You shouldn't have miracles done on the Sabbath. You shouldn't have standing up and walking and taking up your bed is not lawful on the Sabbath. So he's given all kinds of excuses of why God, Jesus, could not do for him what needed to be done. You want to be healed? Well, here's the circumstances in my life that's going to keep me from receiving what you want to give me. How many's ever come to the Lord? Lord, I really would like to have this or this done in my life, but I know here's my circumstance, and I know you can't do anything about my circumstances. This guy was sitting there 38 years, wanting to be healed, and Jesus offers him healing, and he comes back with nothing but excuses. I mean, I don't know what I would have done. I hope I would have said, yes, yes, heal me, touch me, do something in my life. I hope that I would not have been the person that laid there and said, God, you know, Brother Jim, he gets all the blessings in life. I never get any. Our brother here and our sister there, they always go before me. If God's going to bless anybody in the church, it's going to be someone else, and I'm always the last one to be considered, God. I hope I would never, ever do that. That's not what we are called to do. We're called to come to the place of Jesus and receive from Him. Jesus is not, never has been, some sort of superhero. That's sort of cool, you know. But He's not. He's much more. He is much more than that. Jesus is going to heal this guy after 38 years. Isaiah says this, but those, where am I going? Who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall do what? Mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The one thing this guy had to do, once he got over all of his excuses, you know, I don't know why I can't, why, you know, and then once he got all his excuses, the Lord said to him, get up. Get up. He had a choice at that moment to either get up or lay there. The getting up, the pastor's been speaking on faith. The getting up part was the activation of his faith in what Jesus was saying. And I have to tell you, I have been a pastor for 40 years now. I can tell you that God has touched hearts and lives. And people have said, yes, God, I need this. I want that. I want to do this. And then God would turn around and say, well, do this. Be obedient to that. Go this way. And I have seen people over and over and over and over again say, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go that direction. I don't want to say that. Just a simple thing. If you want to be forgiven, what do you have to do? Forgive. Y'all are very quiet this morning. If you want to be forgiven, you have to forgive. So you pray, oh, God, make it right between me and so-and-so. Well, go tell them you're sorry. No! Pastor, you know, Lord, I have problems with diabetes, and it just goes crazy. Well, stop eating chocolate. No, I just want you to heal my diabetes. I'm a diabetic. We have candy jars in our house. And I'm thinking, once in a while, yeah, it's no big deal. But then, you know, and then it gets carried away there. But this act of obedience was paramount in this guy's life. If he hadn't have got up, if he hadn't have been obedient, Jesus would have been there for a short time, and then he would have walked on. And the guy would have still been laying there and still be paralyzed or lame or whatever he was. And then he could have said, well, even Jesus couldn't heal me. Even Jesus couldn't do a miracle in my life. Jesus did the miracle in his life. And he was saying, get up and prove your faith in what I have told you to do. I would encourage you today that if the Lord is speaking to your heart, and no one else knows it but you sometimes, to do this or that. You need to be obedient. Been simple things in my life. Simple things in my life. Go do this. And it seems so random, so silly. Have you ever been told to do something by God and it sounded so silly to you? But then you do it and you go, wow, this is amazing. Look what God did in my life simply because I obeyed him. See, it is not all up to God to do what he does. He sometimes just says, I'm going to heal you. Now, do this. Just do this. And I am so glad because it was a testimony to us that this guy hopped up. And he took up his bed, his mat, whatever it was, and he started walking and rejoicing. Now, of course, Jesus gets in trouble. The guy gets in trouble a little later on because it was done on the Sabbath. But I want to tell you, whether it's Saturday, the Sabbath is Saturday, not Sunday, if you didn't know that. Whether it's done on a Sabbath or a Sunday or a Monday or a Wednesday, every day is a good day for God to move in your life. Every day is a good day for God to touch you. Every day of your life is a good day for you to say yes to God. It's a good day. And whenever we do that, we will see miracles take place because we sang about it this morning. Miracles can and will be done. I still am a proponent of miracles. Anybody? I still believe they happen today. And you say, well, I haven't seen anybody get out of a wheelchair or the blinded eye open. Well, I want to see more of that also. But I do know that God is here to do miracles in your life. Some of them we'll never see. Because sometimes for me, the most difficult things are the things that are happening inside of us. Mental, emotional, spiritual struggles and issues that nobody even knows we're going through. And God says, I can heal them just as easy as I can heal outside things. I like both of them to happen. I think Christians should be whole and well. Amen? Now, if you're struggling with depression, you're struggling with anxiety, you're struggling, I know tons of people that are, and it's not that big a deal, but I want to tell you, God wants to touch you. God wants to minister to you. If you're struggling with physical, God wants to minister and meet your need. He wants his people to be blessed. Amen. Let me close with one portion of scripture, and I'm going to close. David said, some trust in chariots, like that. Some in horses, that's okay. But we trust in the name of our Lord, our God. They are bowed down and fallen, but we are risen and we stand upright. Wow. How many wants to be standing upright? We can trust in everything. I have a great doctor, and they prescribe me medicine for this crazy diabetes, but I want to trust in the Lord over any of that. God is my ultimate healer, and God is my provider. So today, we just did it a little bit ago. Don't want to keep you longer than what we need to keep you. But as our sister plays, if you have a need, I don't care what it is, God is here to minister. God has already looked into that little brain of yours, into that heart of yours, and he says, I know what you need. It just may be a refreshing. It may be purpose in life. It may be a future. It doesn't really matter what it is. God knows what you have need of. As she plays this morning, if you have a need, I want you to stand and come. It'll be just for a minute. Somebody will meet you down here and pray for you. But then before we leave, I'm going to pray and ask God to touch every one of us, even if we don't come down now. Go ahead, sister. Anybody, very quickly. You would just say, I have a need, or I want to pray for somebody that has a need. It doesn't matter. Thank you, Jesus. As people are coming, if you want to pray with somebody, step out and come. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to give a few moments. Just going to give a few moments. God can do miracles. Amen? God can do miracles. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We're just going to give it a few moments this morning. The Lord is in the place. He's gathered with us to touch our hearts and touch our lives. Father, you're a great God. Oh, we love you, Lord. Close here in just a little bit. If you have a need, feel free to come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Very quickly. Very quickly before we close in prayer this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We're going to continue to let people pray around the altars. As always here, altars are always open. If you have need of something around the altar, feel free to do that. We're going to close in prayer here in just a moment. Thank you, Jesus.
darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are.
That is who you are, Lord.
That is who you are.
Thank you, Father.
That is who you are.
We love you, Lord.
That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Thank you, Jesus.
That is who you are.
Thank you, Father.
That is who you are.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to close in prayer. Release those that need to go. It's not even noon yet. I'm a short preacher. I'm not short, yeah. We'll let you go if you need to go. Feel free to be around the altars. Feel free to present yourself to people that need to pray for you. Amen. It's been good to have you in the house of the Lord. It's been a pleasure for me to minister the word to you. Father, we love you. And Lord God, as we still wait for you around the altars, as Lord God, you touch our hearts and our lives, Father, we pray a blessing on each and every one that is here this morning. That Father, as they leave this place, they would go in the power and the spirit of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ to make a difference in a world that's lost and dying. Lord God, give us boldness. Lord God, give us your peace and your joy. Bless this people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. If you have to go this morning, you're free to go. If you want to spend some time before the Lord in prayer, you're sure welcome to do so. It's been good to have you in the house of the Lord.